भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 5, entitled Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. Text number 32. Etat sangsuchitam brahmans tapatraya chakirshitam yad ishvare bhagavati karma brahmani bhavitam etat sansuchitam brahmans etat sansuchitam brahmans tapatraya chakitsitam tapatraya chakitsitam yadishvare bhagavati yadishvare bhagavati karma brahmani bhavitam karma brahmani bhavitam etat sansuchitam brahmans tapatraya chakitsitam yadishvare bhagavati karma brahmani bhavitam chakitsitam yadishvare bhagavati brahmani bhavitam etat sansuchitam brahmans sansuchitam brahmans Ladies. Etat this much. Sangsuchitam, decided by the learned. Brahman, O Brahmana Vyas, Tapatraya, three kinds of miseries. Chikitsitam, remedial measures. Yat, what? Ishvare, the supreme controller. Bhagavati, unto the personality of Godhead. Karma, one's prescribed activities. Brahmani, onto the great. Bhavitam, dedicated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. O Brahmana Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Please repeat. O Brahmana Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Purport. Sri Narada Muni personally experienced that the most feasible and practical way to open the path of salvation or get relief from all miseries of life is to hear submissively the transcendental activities of the Lord from the right and bona fide sources. This is the only remedial process. The entire material existence is full of miseries. Foolish people have manufactured out of their tiny brains many remedial measures for removing the threefold miseries pertaining to the body and mind, pertaining to the natural disturbances, and in relation with other living beings. The whole world is struggling very hard to exist out of these miseries. But men do not know that without the sanction of the Lord, no plan or no remedial measure can actually bring about the desired peace and tranquility. The remedial measure to cure a patient by medical treatment is useless if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. The attempt to cross a river or the ocean by a suitable boat will fail if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. And parents' attempt to protect their children cannot succeed if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. We should know for certain that the Lord is the ultimate sanctioning officer, and we must therefore dedicate our attempts to the mercy of the Lord for ultimate success, or to get rid of the obstacles on the path of success. The Lord is all-pervading, all-powerful, omniscient, and omnipresent. He is the ultimate sanctioning agent of all good or bad effects. We should therefore learn to dedicate our activities onto the mercy of the Lord and accept Him either as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It does not matter what one is. One must dedicate everything in the service of the Lord. If one is a learned scholar, scientist, philosopher, poet, etc., then he should employ his learning to establish the supremacy of the Lord. Try to study the energy of the Lord in every sphere of life. Do not decry Him and try to become like Him or take His position simply by fragmental accumulation of knowledge. If one is an administrator, statesman, warrior, politician, etc., then one should try to establish the Lord's supremacy in statesmanship. For the cause of the Lord, as Sri Arjuna did. Fight for the cause of the Lord as Sri Arjuna did. In the beginning, Sri Arjuna, the great fighter, declined to fight. But when he was convinced by the Lord that the fighting was necessary, Sri Arjuna changed his decision and fought for his cause. Similarly, if one is a businessman, an industrialist, an agriculturist, etc., then one should spend his hard-earned money for the cause of the Lord. Think always that the money which is accumulated is the wealth of the Lord. Wealth is considered to be the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the Lord is Narayan, or the husband of Lakshmi. Try to engage Lakshmi in the service of Lord Narayan and be happy. That is the way to realize the Lord in every sphere of life. The best thing is, after all, to get relief from all material activities and engage oneself completely in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. But in case of the absence of such an opportunity, one should try to engage in the service of the Lord everything for which one has specific attraction. That is the way of peace and prosperity, and that is the remedial measure for all the miseries of material existence. The word Sun Tzu Chitung in this stanza is also significant. One should not think for a moment that the realization of Narada was childish imagination only. It is not like that. It is so realized by the expert and erudite scholars, and that is the real import of the word Sun Tzu Chitam. Om Ajnanita Midandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sigurve Nama Vim Guru Diva Chalam Panglam Gam Tai Gugam Yad Kipatam Ham Vande Sigurum Dina Tarnam Paramananda Maharvam Si Chaitanya Ishwaram. O Brahmana Vyasadev, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So, this verse is very encouraging. And Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, compliments it so nicely, explaining how no matter what one's condition may be, or whatever your inclination may be, if you simply direct it or dovetail it to Krishna's service, then all success is there. Unfortunately, in the modern times, in the present times, this idea is lost. And the whole of society is so much absorbed in its own gratification that everything is fractured. Society, government, everything is. There's conflict everywhere. Prabhupada sometimes would comment on the United Nations, how every year you see that there's different flags that are added, which is not an indicator that society and the world is coming closer together, but it's quite the opposite. It's just an indicator that society is becoming more fractured. And there's no solution. The solution is just try to give people enough sense gratification that it'll keep them satisfied. That it'll keep them at bay, at least. Well, let's make sure that everyone has a lot of money. We'll just give everyone a lot of money. Whatever they do is their thing, although they're controlling that too, underneath, behind the scenes. But if we give everyone a lot of money, then we're successful. See what I've done. So, of course, this is not the solution. And this is confirmed or corroborated by this verse and confirmed and clarified so nicely by Srila Prabhupada in the purport that learned people, those who are actually in the know, like, right, some people like to think that they're in the know. They dress in a particular way, or they act in a certain way, or they drive a certain thing. And when they go on the red carpet, they're in the know. Everyone thinks that, oh, wow, we've got a, this is the perfection. But no, actually, those who are learned and we consider such great personalities as the Mahajans and the sages and rishis of Vedic culture to be those who are in the know. And these persons have decided that the best remedial measure for removing all of the troubles, and no one can argue that there's plenty of troubles in the world. Anyone who is not thinking that there's some trouble in the world, that there aren't plenty of miseries, is either crazy or an animal. Crazy or an animal or something else. I'm sure some people have their own idea, but they're crazy. They're in a pretty deep illusion. So there are plenty of miseries in this material world, there's no doubt. But the learned persons, those who are in the know, after deliberation, it's not that they just sort of come up out of this, out of the blue with some opinion, and we have to accept it, like we see in present society. People come up with an idea, and we have to accept it, either by vox populi, right? All the crazy people get together, and they agree that this is the right thing, or this is the right person. And we have to accept it. Or they may force it upon the masses through some kind of indoctrination, whether it's in the schools, or whether it's in society, whether it's through the media, whether it's in some bar on the corner. So, not that sort of deliberation. No, these the great sages have realized by their practical experience, just as here Sri Narada is explaining to Srila Vyasadeva, that by practical experience, I've realized that hearing from the authorized bona fide authorities is the best remedial measure, Srila Prabhupada explains, for addressing the miseries of material life. It's the best remedy. Just like we can go to a drugstore, right? You can go to a drugstore and you happen to have a stomach problem. We don't go down the aisles in the hair section, right? We don't go down the aisle in the hair section. We don't go down the aisle that has all of the cleaning materials. We don't go down the aisle that has the potato chips, right? That compounds the problem. But you go down the aisle that has the proper medicine. Otherwise, and if you don't know, then you go to those who are in the know. Just as here, Srila Vyasadeva was experiencing some trepidation in his work. And Narada came and began to advise him. Because Narada, Srila Narada Muni, is in the know. He's been empowered by his father, Lord Brahma, And that is the process, how one advances in human life. Now we're talking about human life. We're not talking about animal life. We're not talking about some other sphere of existence, but we're talking about human life. So the process here is being has been experienced, and Srila Prabhupada points that out here in the purport, that Narada Muni personally experienced that the most feasible and practical way to get relief from all of these miseries of life, which again no one can argue, is to hear submissively about the transcendental activities of the Lord. And this is important, that one has to hear submissively. There's a very beautiful verse in the third canto where the demigods are speaking, offering prayers to Lord Vishnu. And they say, Yas tradaya shutavatya chabaktya samridjamana hridaye vidaya. And what they're explaining is that simply by hearing about the lotus feet of the Lord, simply by hearing about the lotus feet of the Lord, it seems such a simple solution. Yet Srila Prabhupada in the purport points out that this is the most effective process in mitigating the miseries of material life. And that is hearing about the lotus feet of the Lord. The lotus feet of the Lord are so attractive. They're so attractive that if one can simply keep that vision in their mind, that it solves all the problems of life. It solves the problems of everything. All of the strife that we're having to go through, all of the mental trips that we may be going through, simply by focusing on the lotus feet of the Lord. They're so attractive. They're so attractive that the mind won't want to wander off into other things. Because that's the tendency of the mind. It wants to take off. It wants to listen to this or think about that. And we're being bombarded by so many forces. Karmatmaka yena sharira bhanda. The mind, Lord Rishabhadev explains in the fifth canto, that the mind becomes colored over with fruitive activities. And because of those fruitive activities, one's forced to expect to receive. You don't have a choice. You're forced to accept another material body. And that next material body means the same thing. It's the same thing over and over. Janma mrityu jara vyadi. It's the same thing over and over. As soon as the mind becomes colored over with fruitive activities, absorbed in this or that, then there's a big problem. But the demigods are praying to Lord Vishnu that if one can just simply fix the mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord, with eagerness and devotion. It's not that we just... there has to be a little bit of an effort, in other words. Of course, association is most important. We all have practical experience. We didn't really... some of us, at least for myself, weren't looking so much for Krishna consciousness, but that association came by some great fortune. And by that association, something happened. Just imagine that Krishna consciousness, it requires some eagerness and devotion. You have to be a little bit eager. And that devotion, manifestation of that devotion, is that you want to apply yourself. You want to do something. Not that we're just, oh yeah, we offer some nice words, offer a few flowers, and then walk away. No, eagerness and devotion. And that devotion, again, is manifested in wanting to engage. and meditating that eagerness and devotion, develops further into a meditation. We all have practical experience that when you focus on something, you really want something, and you're super absorbed in it. It becomes a meditation, and that meditation it creates. Of course, we're referring to meditating on the personality of Godhead. By meditating upon His lotus feet, one becomes enlightened. Whereas in the material world, we meditate on some material thing, it just becomes a heartache. It becomes a headache. But Krishna consciousness is quite the opposite. By meditating upon the lotus feet of the Lord and keeping them within the heart, meditating upon them within the heart, one becomes enlightened with transcendental knowledge. And that knowledge, it develops further in the form of a detachment. Detachment from this material world. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that eagerness and detachment have to be there for one to advance properly in spiritual life. So, Srila Narada Muni here is experiencing this by his own practical life. By having the good association of his of the great sages, he was able to become such a great soul without any previous qualification. And Krishna explains this also in the Bhagavad Gita, where he explains that that the absolute truth can be understood through the process of meditation. Right, the yogis are absorbed in their meditation, or one can be engaged in the culture of knowledge. The jnanis are working so hard to try to discover the material nature, take it apart, and try to understand its origin. Or one can be engaged in fruitive activities. These processes are all successful. They can be successful if engaged properly, karma, jnana, and yoga. But Krishna explains the next verse, a beautiful verse, where he says, "Anye tvayam majanata shrutvena bhya upasate." He says that there are those who are not so conversant. There may be those who are not so conversant in spiritual knowledge. Of course, that's the majority of people. People are not so very conversant in spiritual knowledge. They don't really have an interest. They're absorbed in too many other things. They're overcome by so many other things. But if such a person who's not so conversant in spiritual knowledge begins to hear or hears from the proper source, he can begin to worship the personality of Godhead. And by that tendency to hear from authorities, one can also transcend the repetition of birth and death. It's so important, and Srila Prabhupada points that out here in this purport, that there are many foolish people in this world who think that they can manufacture with their tiny little brains some solution to the troubles of material life, whether it be the threefold miseries, adhyatmik, adhidavik, adhibhautik, or some other concocted idea or miserable state they may be in. But these sorts of endeavors, they're all useless without the sanction of the personality of Godhead. Upadrashtanumanta cha bharta bhoktameshwara. Krishna is the upadrashtanumanta. He's the overseer and permitter. It's not that we can just sort of come up with our own scheme and solve the problems of this thing. And of course, we're thinking that we can. And Prabhupada gives the example that the attempt to cross a river or ocean by a suitable boat, like the Titanic, will fail if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. And parents' attempt to protect the children cannot succeed if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. We can go to the doctor every day, every week, and you can spend so much time and effort and wealth, but if it's ordained by the Lord, the child has to go. You can't do anything. Chitraketu had that experience. He did whatever he could to have a child, and finally he got it and left by destiny. So, we can do so many things to try and create some kind of peaceful situation in the world. If it's not sanctioned by the Lord, then it's a failure. It's a failure. So we should therefore learn to dedicate our activities onto the mercy of the Lord and accept Him as the personality of Godhead. And no matter what condition one may be, as Prabhupada points there, Jnana Prayas Mudapasyana Manteva, it's described that no matter what your condition is, no matter what your position may be, one should simply give up the speculative idea, this speculative reasoning that, well, maybe we can come up with a solution if we have a meeting, if we get the cabinet members together. We can have a solution to all the problems of life, or if we get all the nations together and we go to a retreat someplace, we can have we can wine and dine everyone and we'll have a solution. No, it doesn't work. It's all a failure, and we're seeing that practically time and time again. So the real solution again is to hear from the Lord's bona fide representative, and in this way the Lord becomes revealed. There's a very wonderful verse also by Lord Brahma in the 10th canto where he says, Tvam bhakti yoga pariyojita, what is that? Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja ase sutekshita pato nanunata pungsang. Where he states that the devotees of the Lord, they see the Lord by hearing. The Lord becomes manifest through that hearing process. It's just like we all have practical experience that when you remember what someone said to you, or someone may have said something, just like sometimes we meditate upon a song that you heard a long time ago, that song is just fixated in the mind. You actually see it. Just by that remembrance, by having heard that, it becomes manifest. What to speak of the personality of Godhead. Krishna becomes manifest in that sound vibration. And by that hearing process, the heart becomes, how does he say it? Their hearts become cleansed. And when that heart is cleansed, Krishna takes his seat there. We can't hope to have the association of the personality of Godhead with a dirty seat. It doesn't work. Krishna is not going to come to some contaminated place, but it has to be clean. And it's cleaned by that hearing process. Krishna becomes manifest to that devotee in the form that he desires. And Prabhupada points that out in this purport. It's really beautiful. thought I read it in this verse. Maybe it was in a previous verse. In any case, Krishna becomes manifest in a beautiful form which connects with that devotee. So, again, there's so many wonderful points that are made in this purport, and we can't hope to touch even a little bit, but it's so nice that Srila Prabhupada points out that this process of Krishna consciousness is so perfect. One simply has to utilize everything, whatever facility you have, in Krishna's service, use it in His service. Otherwise, karma bandhana, it becomes a binding activity. One becomes entangled. So, Narada Muni is giving this advice to Srila Vyasadeva. I'm a practical example of this. That if you simply hear about the pastimes of the Lord, again, he's encouraging him to transmit that to others by the creation of the Bhagavatam. That it's the real medicine. It's the real medicine. Bhavosadas chotra manobhiram. It really solves all of the problems. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.